As a minister of the gospel during the Reformation, he at times advocated armed revolution. He was considered one of the most powerful preachers of his day, and yet only 2 out of the hundreds of sermons he preached were published. He is a key figure in the formation of modern Scotland, having a greater impact than the much celebrated William Wallace. And yet, there is only one monument erected to his name. And his grave? Well, today it lies beneath a parking lot. Hello, I'm Jerry Johnson, and I welcome you to this edition of Against the World.
This episode of Against the World is brought to you by the Unnamed Calvinist, a dear brother who is drowning in a sea of Arminianism. Please keep our friend in your prayers. This episode is also being brought to you by the Puritan Hard Drive, an incredible research tool filled with thousands of hard-to-find books, each one searchable by words or topics. For more information, visit our good friends on the web at puritandownloads.com.
John Knox was clearly a unique man. As one writer noted, he was a Hebrew Jeremiah set down on Scottish soil. In a relentless campaign of fiery oratory, he sought to destroy idolatry and to purify Scotland's religion. Dramatic events were unfolding in Scotland during Knox's youth. Many were angry with the Papal Church, which owned more than half of the real estate and gathered an annual income of nearly 18 times that of the crown. Bishops and priests were often mere political appointments, and many never hid their immoral lives. In fact, the Archbishop of St. Andrews, Cardinal Beaton, openly consorted with concubines and sired 10 illegitimate children. The constant sea traffic between Scotland and continental Europe allowed Lutheran literature to be smuggled into the country. Alarmed at the growing rate of discontent, the papal authorities tried to suppress the Reformation literature. In the early 1540s, Knox was captivated by Reformational theology under the preaching of Thomas Guillaume. Later, he became a bodyguard for the fiery Protestant preacher George Wishart, who was speaking throughout Scotland. In 1546, however, Cardinal Beaton had Wishart arrested, tried, strangled, and burned. In response, a party of 16 Protestant nobles stormed the castle and assassinated Beaton. Though Knox was not privy to the murder, he unapologetically approved of it. During a Protestant service one Sunday, preacher John Rough spoke on the election of ministers and publicly asked Knox to undertake the office of preacher. When the congregation confirmed the call, Knox was shaken to his core and reduced to tears. He declined at first, but eventually submitted to what he believed was the will of God. It was, however, a short-lived ministry. In 1547, after St. Andrew's Castle was put under siege by papal allies, it fell. Some of the occupants were imprisoned, others, like John Knox, were sent to the galleys as slaves. 19 months passed before he and others were released from their captivity. Knox spent the next 5 years in England, and his reputation for preaching quickly blossomed. But when papal supporter Mary Tudor took the throne, Knox was again forced to flee for his life, this time to France. He made his way to Geneva, where he met John Calvin. The French reformer described Knox as, quote, a brother, laboring energetically for the faith, unquote. Knox, for his part, was so impressed with Calvin's Geneva, he called it the most perfect school of Christ that was ever on earth since the days of the apostles. Back in Scotland, Protestants were redoubling their efforts and congregations were forming all over the country. A group that came to be called the Lords of the Congregation vowed to make the tenets of the Reformation the religion of the land. In 1555, they invited Knox to return to Scotland to inspire the reforming task. Knox spent 9 months preaching extensively and persuasively in Scotland before he was again forced to return to Geneva. Away from his homeland, he published some of his most controversial tracts. In his admonition to England, he attacked the leaders who allowed papal religion back into the British Isles. In the first blast of the trumpet against the monstrance regiment of women, he argued that a female ruler, namely the English Queen Mary Tudor, was most detestable in the presence of God, and that she was a traitress and rebel against God. In his appellations to the nobility and commonality of Scotland, he extended to ordinary people the right, indeed the duty, to rebel against unjust, wicked rulers. As he told Mary, Queen of Scotland, "The sword of justice is God's, and if princes and rulers fail to use it, others may." Later, Queen Mary was noted as saying, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all of the assembled armies of Europe." Knox returned to Scotland in 1559, and he again deployed his formidable preaching skills to increase Protestantism. Within days of his arrival, he preached a sermon at Perth against papal idolatry. Inspired by his exposition of Scripture, captioners were demolished, images smashed, and papal houses of worship, which he considered idol factories, were destroyed as a result. In June, Knox was elected the minister of the Edinburgh Church, where he continued to exhort and inspire. In his sermons, Knox spit... That's a tongue twister for some reason. In June, Knox was elected the minister of the Edinburgh Church, where he continued to exhort and inspire. In his sermons, Knox typically spent half an hour calmly exegeting a biblical passage. Then, as he applied the text to the Scottish situation, he became active and vigorous, pounding the pulpit. Said one note taker, "He made me so to quake and tremble that I could not hold my pen to write." The lords of the congregation now occupied more and more cities, so that finally, in 1560, the Treaty of Berwick was signed, which effectively ousted both the English and French from Scottish soil. The English, now under Protestant Elizabeth I, had come to the aid of the Protestant Scots, and the future of Protestantism in Scotland was assured. Born in 1514, Knox lived to be 58, passing in the year of our Lord 1572. May God grant us another John Knox. Until next week, this is Jerry Johnson standing contra mundum against the world.
Hello, and welcome to this introductory video for The Puritan Hard Drive by Stillwater's Revival Books. You will soon see why The Puritan Hard Drive is a technological revolution in Puritan, Reformation, and Covenanter studies. For over 25 years, Stillwater's Revival Books has provided the worldwide Christian community with the finest in Puritan and Reformation resources, including classic and contemporary printed works, inspirational sermons, audiobooks, and videos. In recent years, our collection of great Christian works has more than doubled, growing to a library that would occupy nearly 140 CDs. The Puritan Hard Drive is a tremendous library of over 12,500 Christian resources on an external hard drive that fits easily in your pocket or purse. It features the works of nearly 800 classic and contemporary authors, including John Bunyan, Matthew Henry, Jonathan Edwards, Thomas Manton, Samuel Rutherford, and Charles Spurgeon. Timeless works like the English Hexapla, Fox's Book of Martyrs, Sketches of the Covenanters, and from the Puritan Divines, the complete 34-volume set of the Puritan Fast Sermons. Many of these books are rare and classic titles unavailable anywhere else. Over 25 years in the making, the Puritan Hard Drive is simply the most extensive Christian collection ever released. The Puritan Hard Drive comprises more than 12,500 Puritan and Reformation resources, over 500,000 pages of great Christian books, more than 10,000 sermons and audiobooks in MP3 format, providing years of listening enjoyment, over 70 videos. All in all, a library of thousands of exceptional works accessible and affordable to everyone. Included on the Puritan Hard Drive is a custom search engine that makes it easy to find, browse, and organize the resources in your library. And much easier than trying to wade through a typical file directory on your computer. Connect the Puritan Hard Drive to any available USB port on your PC or Mac. The drive is self-contained, so there's no software to install or configure. Within moments, you can begin exploring the library by running the custom search interface. It's also a knowledge base with information about each work, including the author, title, description, keywords, and subject category. For you techies, this database contains over 15 million records of information. For all of us, that means we have an extremely powerful search and study tool. A list of all resources on the Puritan Hard Drive is available for viewing at any time. Here we see that the list of print materials contains over 2,100 works. This view is ideal for browsing all documents or media files in alphabetical order, by title or by author. The list is rather long, so using the search function of the knowledge base is the easiest way to find resources of interest to you. For example, let's say that my pastor recommended a book by James Henley Thornwell. I can search the knowledge base by author by typing his name in this field, or by selecting it from the complete list of nearly 800 authors provided at the click of a button. Clicking the search button executes the search, and immediately returns a list of all resources by this author. In this case, I've quickly found the book that was recommended to me. Clicking on the green icon opens the resource, allowing me to begin my reading. Further details about any resource can be found by clicking on the book cover icon, which opens the resource detail page. From here, I can browse the details of this work. I can add and save my own notes about it, and open the resource for reading, listening, or viewing. Your search capabilities don't end there. The majority of the rare, classic works on the Puritan Hard Drive now contain an embedded index. This means that the actual text of these resources is now fully searchable for the first time in history. Enter a search term in Adobe Acrobat Reader. In this case, a search for the word Scripture yields instant results. Having searchable text also makes it possible to highlight, copy, and paste the text into another document, such as a sermon, a lesson plan, or a school paper. Less time spent on research means more time for reading, studying, and appreciating the resources in your library. Just another reason why the Puritan Hard Drive is a technological revolution in Puritan, Reformation, and Covenanter studies. Thank you for watching this introduction to the Puritan Hard Drive by Stillwater's Revival Books, serving Christians worldwide for over 25 years. Join us in our other videos as we demonstrate even more features and functionality of the Puritan Hard Drive. For more information, visit us on the web at puritandownloads.com. Until then, be well, and God bless.